When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey, ho.
And you guys get out and you see Cece sitting there with all of the food and stuff like that. Cece, what are you doing now?
I watched the whole thing, and that's something I think she's sitting there. She's enjoying watching everybody, and on her little holster, she pulls out her maps on her right, journals on her left. She pulls it out and just jots down some stuff about, like, they rode. She writes down everything they've been up to today. It's just like they rode the novice flight. Art mad old. Met person in gray coat, gave me feather, crushed it. Like, just little cute notes. And then as they're coming back, she tucks it back away and is like, you guys nailed it. You guys nailed it.
Cece is the bullet journalist we all wish we were.
It's true. Or at least she likes to think so. Yeah.
Cece, that was so great. Did you see that? That was so fun.
I did. You couldn't get me up there, but I'm glad you guys enjoyed.
Wait, why not? You don't want to do it?
No! Are you kidding me? I'm not going up there attached to some feather weave. You
know, I went up there.
You're braver than me.
Kieran did it.
Kieran, you're braver than I am.
I'm, like, the least... No, that's false. That's empirically false.
No.
That is the most false.
How?
June is already, like, double-fisting snacks into her mouth.
Kieran, I could never have done that. I could never have done what you have done today. I want you to know that.
But it was so cool. You could see everything, and then you could see even more of everything. Like, you know how high you can get in the tree?
Yeah.
It's higher than that.
Dang.
So much higher than that.
So much higher than that, June says around the popcorn.
I think Kieran, like, grabs some of the popcorn.
The popcorn is... It's like cinnamon and pear.
Oh.
Fancy. Fancy.
I like it. I like it. I think this is the moment where she's feeding her little chickadees right now. She's like, you guys did a great
Cece
job.
Cece is the mom.
Yeah.
Cece's the mom.
Cece is team mom.
Yeah. It's like,
yes.
You guys did super good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Proud of you.
Oh, Cece. I saw when I was up there, I saw one of the captains.
What? Which one?
Yeah. The what yellow one.
Oh, gosh. Did you wave? Did you say hello? Did you introduce yourself?
She was like, no, I was up in the air. I got up in the air and she was down there and she was looking at me and she had like this mystical knowing smile on her face.
Oh,
and
dip.
I was like flying, you know, because I was on the thing.
Yeah.
And then when I came down, she was gone.
Well, we should go find her.
No, why would we do that?
So we can get, like, we gotta introduce it. Do you guys know what networking even is? Well, you were up there.
No.
I was down here networking. I met a captain, too, and I was like, I am pleased to meet you. And they were like, wow, I admire your spunk. One day I'm gonna take you. Yeah, like, totally. They were so impressed by how many feathers they had. They were like, I'm gonna offer you a position as co-captain on my ship. And then I was like,
what?
No, I'm trying to hang out with my friends today. Sorry.
Cece, really?
Yes, for real. So, like, we gotta go network. We gotta get you these connections that I now have. I gotta share the joy with all of you.
I mean, June like flounders for a second because Cece is very charismatic and often will get June worked up about something so that she'll say yes, even though she really doesn't want to. And I think June flounders for a second and looks at Kieran and then looks back at Cece and goes, okay, but I need feathers first. I can't just walk up and be like, hi, I'm June Hymnal. Look at me with no feathers. Right. Like, that's not going to happen.
These are established facts. All right, let's get you some feathers. Kieran, you want some feathers?
Well, I need feathers too if we're going to network, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Kieran, like, is suddenly very preoccupied with the collection of feathers.
Cece grabs a stick and in a little bit of, like, dirt and sand is like, okay, let's huddle up, game plan. Let's figure out how you're going to get the most amount of feathers in the least amount of time.
Okay, they huddle.
Okay.
Okay, great. I would love everyone to say one thing they want to do to get a feather here at the fair.
I want to answer questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trivia.
Good at that.
Trivia stuff. You can do that.
I know things.
June would like to wrestle that kid that gave her sass and win.
Okay.
In a feat of strength that will earn feathers.
June, you have to make sure you don't like actually hurt them though, because I don't.
What does that mean exactly?
Like, remember that one time?
No.
And Kieran is like very uncomfortable at the idea of recounting the story. The one time those kids, like, they took my stuff and I was upset about it, and then you just punch one in the nose and now their nose is like weird.
They shouldn't have taken your stuff.
Well, okay, I agree, but also now their nose is weird. Maybe you shouldn't make a 10-year-old's nose weird.
Should have thought about that before they took your stuff.
How do you preemptively think about a nose becoming weird? I don't know
how it is outside of Thornville, but I know that in Thornville everybody sort of has to think about whether or not they're gonna get punched in the nose for doing something stupid on a daily basis.
I haven't been thinking about that.
Yeah, but that's okay because you're not doing anything stupid.
Exactly. You're not catching any static. You don't have to catch the hands. Yeah. You're fine.
You're fine. I think that's a thing that happens all the time that, like, Kieran will be like, but what about this thing? And Cece and June in unison will be like, you're fine.
I love that so much.
I'm sitting here thinking, can we make it a thing that toots is a thing?
Toots?
Like, as your quote-unquote swear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is there any other swears you guys
right
want
right
to make up?
Just
right at the get-go? Just so we know what they are?
I say ah beans all the time, unironically.
Ah beans, toots. I don't know why this is important to me, but it's important to me for some reason.
I think June says, like, scratch that. Like, scratch. Like, thinking about, like, the birds scratching the posts
cool.
and stuff.
Oh, God.
Scratch
That's
that.
That's very good.
Like, thank you.
Cool.
Like, if something is scratched, it's messed up.
Oh, it's like...
What is something you say, Cece?
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Those were so good. Let me think. I think when something is... I think I just call out, like, Zima. I'm looking at an empty Zima bottle on my desk that I bought in Tokyo. So I think...
Zima.
Yeah, like Zima,
wow.
The old school that all the young kids won't know. So I'm like... Yeah. Yeah, where it's like, oh my Zima. No, I don't know. Come back to me later.
No,
I'll think
it's fine.
Of something
it's fine.
On the spot.
We'll do it organically. Yeah. It's great. I was hung up on it. It was great. So, you guys have all these things you guys want to do at the fair. Let's say you guys take a lap. You guys take a lap of the fair. It's in a big circle. So you guys walk around and you see the fair. You smell the smell of fried food. You smell the smell of canvas and hear the sounds of hundreds of people murmuring as people walk back and forth past you. You see the blue caps of other novices. You see, like I said, the coats of apprentices and adepts who are ranks just above you. They're wearing coats that are like that stop at the waist. But they also have that kind of fleece collar, and they're in, like, the Audrin colors. And they're wearing Audrin caps, which are just, like, caps that have tassels or, like, beanie caps or these wintry kind of looking caps that have a pin of the of their Audrin, as well as the color of their Audrin. And each one is different. That's something you do notice, is that all the coats are different, all the hats are different, they're of different materials, but they all have a uniformed look to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. As you guys walk around, you see various sights and sounds. You see there is a bird field, which they have cordoned off, that there's a bunch of birds flying in the air doing aerobatics, and their aerial acrobatics. They're doing games with birds on them, like kids are riding birds. They're in these big, some of the kids are like just like 10 feet off the ground on smaller birds, like some of the younger kids, and they're covered in head to toe and like padded. Like a padded suit that if they, like, as you guys are walking by, this one kid rolls off his bird and falls 10 feet and lands, poof. But he gets up and he's in this suit that, like, has cushioned the fall. And everyone's like, yay!
June is frowning deeply, but her eyes are, like, glazed over as she stares intently at the bird field and all of the action that's going on.
There's a lot going on in the bird field. There's a couple of different games happening there. There's courier jousting is happening there.
Heck yeah.
There's a bird race, like it's just laps in the sky that people are doing. And there's also a game called Postal Shot Put, where they launch a bag into the air and the people on the birds have to lift off and get to it before it lands on the ground. All this, all that is happening. There are food places everywhere. There are food tents set up. There's like fizzy drinks that you guys never get fizzy drinks, but there's like hot cider being served everywhere. Savory pastries as well as sweet pastries, popcorn, all this stuff is happening. And there's also like these booths and stalls set up. There are little stages set up, where as you guys walk by one, there's a guy going, what's 2 plus 2? And they're like, there's a little kid who's like, 4? Good job, next! And like, people come up and they're doing like different types of knowledge-based stuff and anything you can think of. Is there anything you guys see that you like want to stop and do?
Yes. The knowledge stall, the trivia stall, the math stall. CC strolls up to them and says,
okay.
I wager my 4 feathers that my friend Kieran can outwit you. And if I
CC,
win,
what are you doing? CC, stop.
You give all of us 2 feathers.
CC, no. What is she doing?
Who have you said this to?
The person running the stall.
Oh, the person running the stall. Let us say it is an adept, so that's an 18-year-old kid.
CC!
Relax, got
they
this.
They are, oh, what Audrin are they from?
Red.
Remember, that it's red, yellow, black, and gray. Which Audrin?
It's gotta be a red Audrin.
Okay.
I feel like those are the most intimidating kids.
Okay, all right. This person's name is Bran Hoggart. Tell me something about Bran, each one of you.
Bran what?
Hoggart.
Hoggart.
He's
a big kid.
It's like real.
Like, he's like, if you got into a fight with him, you'd need to take like 4 other friends to get into that fight.
Perfect.
Perfect. I love that.
I got 2 friends.
He's 17. Go for it. What else? He's big. What else?
He's big and he has this like, his name is Hoggart, right?
Yep.
He's got this pushed back nose and he kind of like when he exhales, it kind of makes like a, like, you know, he kind of has like a snort. He's this big presence, but like very kind eyes. And he's running the trivia booth just because I think he like drew the short straw. Like that's the least fun one. Like you could be running basically like chocobo races and he's at the knowledge stall. Like that's butt. So I think that he's like drew the short straw. And so like he just got stuck there at that booth. And that's why I spotted it and was like, I have an idea of how to get some quick feathers. We're gonna hustle. We're gonna hustle Hoggart.
I'd like to say that he's missing 2 fingers.
Dang!
Ooh.
I gotta write that down. Okay, so you walk up to Bran with his pig nose, His Audrin coat is this kind of reddish orange, and his hat is like tasseled. It's got like a long, like white tassel on it, but it is also that kind of orangish red color. He's big, he's muscular, and as he reaches, as you say this, he like scratches his forehead, and you see that he's missing his pinky and his ring finger on his right hand.
CC immediately just says, God. "Dang!" Just caught off guard. Yeah, oh, dang!
June, yeah, I'm gonna die.
So, sorry about that. You want to say that you're challenging me? Is that what it
yeah.
is? Are you just challenging the game?
CC slams her hands down on the counter and says, "I challenge you, Hoggart, that my friend Kieran can outsmart you, and I wager all my feathers that they can do it."
Wow, that's really aggressive, but okay, we'll do that. And he like looks over at like a supervisor. There's like an adult there, and he goes, Can we do this? Is this like a thing?" And the woman at the desk goes, "Yeah, they're the novices. They get to do whatever they want today."
Yeah. Listen to me. Listen to me, big boy.
Okay.
You're gonna challenge me. You're gonna accept this challenge, and you're gonna get smoked by my friend Kieran.
Big boy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You're like you're like 6'4". Yes, big boy. I'm like 14.
Cece, stop. Cece, it's a.
Okay. All right then. Let's do it.
She slams the four feathers down, and goes, "Kieran, you're on."
Kieran wants to just be swallowed by the earth.
And I know
I would like to be. I would like to roll to be swallowed by the earth.
Oh no, no, no!
I'm gonna say you don't even have to roll. You just are. You're just small and by the earth. And he goes, where's your friend?
Because I don't want to thrust. I don't want to thrust Kieran into an unfortunate situation. So I say, "One second with my client," and I pull CC to the side. And I pull Kieran to the side, and I'm like, "Okay, I know that was a lot, and that was like a big old thing, but
it was." Really big.
I know.
And it was so much.
Do you know how smart you are?
Moderately.
No, wrong. You're like the smartest person I have ever known. You know why I'm good at trivia? Because you're good at trivia. You got this. I believe in you. Do you believe in you? Ready? You want to breathe out some fire with me real quick?
Oh, God.
3, 2, 1. Feel that? You feel that heat?
I feel something.
All right, that's energy. Now go get some. And I like nudge them toward the counter.
Are you Kieran?
Yeah.
All right, good, good. I'm Bran. Apparently, we're gonna be dueling here in Wits.
Nice to meet you. I hope you do well.
I hope so too.
Get them feathers.
All right, then.
Get them feathers. Woo.
All right.
June leans over to Cece and goes, "What is wrong with you?
What are you talking about? We're totally going to get like 12 feathers this way. I don't know. I hadn't done the math yet. But this is the quickest way for us to just bank some quick feathers. Kieran's smart. I'm smart. And you're cool. That winning combination."
Cool. Kieran, this is what I need you to do.
Uh-huh.
I need you to roll for me. Whatever you want to roll, we're going to say that this is a, you're overcoming, you're doing an overcoming action on this.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to roll 4 of the dice.
Okay.
And how do you want to go about doing this?
I think Kieran is doing this cleverly. I think as terrified as they are, I feel like both contestants are going to get softball questions. And I think that does enough alongside CC's, like, cheerleading throughout this entire process, let's be honest. It kind of gets them at least focused enough to get in on these questions. So they're gonna use that smart brain of theirs.
Okay.
So I'm rolling 4 die.
Roll 4 die.
Uh-huh. And then I add
clever.
Okay, guys, that's a +4.
Oh, let's go!
Woo! Oh, wow!
Let's get it. DJ Kieran spinning the trivia on the AM.
We're going to say you guys spend 10 minutes doing trivia back to back to back. Like, you just do question after question. And Bran keeps up with you for the first maybe 5 or 6 questions. And you start to pull ahead. The last question. So the person running the booth, the woman who's running the booth along with Bran, she sits there and she's like, final question. And by this time, a crowd has gathered. Oh. There's, like, people, like, sitting around, like, watching this.
Yes,
two of you are sitting on the stage on, like, stumps. They brought up, like, stump stools. Final question. Name for me the small archipelago in the South Seas that routinely attack the Mariner.
I think it takes Karen, like, a couple of seconds. Maybe two, because they're going about this from a textbook definition to a textbook answer route as opposed to an experiences route. You know what I mean?
Bran goes, that's not even possible. Nobody fights the Mariner.
Jotara Islands.
That is correct. Jotara Islands is correct.
Yes!
Kieran wins.
Let's get it!
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh!
The crowd goes crazy. And they pass over you. They gather up five feathers and they hand the five feathers to Kieran.
June like rushes over and like scoops Kieran up into a bear hug and swings them around.
Aww.
Oh, I think Kieran's focus is like pinpointed on these five feathers.
That was awesome.
20 minutes ago, they had zero.
Bran comes over to you, Kieran, and he goes, you're a pretty smart kid. Hi. Pleasure. Pleasure going up against you. And he reaches his hand out to shake yours.
Kieran has to, like, figure out where the feathers are going and then shakes his hand.
And as you shake his hand, he pulls you in closer. He, like, does that grip and pull. And he pulls you in and goes, just don't get too big for your own britches, kid. And let's go.
Oh, Kieran shrinks immediately.
June is like, what did he say to you? What did he say to you, Kieran? What did he say?
It's fine. I'm okay. It's fine. I have feathers. Look at these feathers. I have five feathers. Cece, I have five feathers.
Oh, I see. I told you. You're the smartest kid in town. You're the smartest person in Thornvale. Dare I say it. And I'm the greatest hustler of all time.
Probably, that's true, yeah.
Cece, like, stands hands on hips, like Peter Pan style, and lets out, like, the biggest...
This, like, anime hero.
Oh, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Where do you guys go next? The crowd disperses, everyone goes back to doing what they're doing, you guys are left in the fair, you keep walking, what do you
do next? I think Kieran is gonna, like, pound two cups of cider, just... They're thirsty, man.
Yeah. I think as they continue on their circuit of the fairgrounds, they find like the area that's dedicated to like feats of strength and stuff. So there's like a rope climb and some sort of like log pull and
you
stuff
see,
like that.
June, there is all those. There is plenty of those. Hit the thing, it'll hit the bell, like those kind of tests of strength as well. There's tests of agility. There's like an obstacle course set up. Different stuff like that, but there is a stick fighting pit. It's a circle of posts put into the ground. You see novices and adepts and apprentices dressed in padded clothing, and they have these like rattan sticks, and they're doing stick fighting. It's a thing you can actually learn. They actually teach the stick fighting to kids here in Thornvale. So it's part of your curriculum, kind of like your PE curriculum, as being kids when you're younger going through school here until you're about 10. So you know this kind of fight style. All of you do. Maybe not Kieran, but you've probably done some of it at least. You've at least done like rudimentary classes in it.
Yeah. So I think June sees it and like glances surreptitiously at Cece and starts to drift towards that little corral
and
where the stick fighting is.
Absolutely see that 10-year-old kid who is there in the ring, and he destroys the 15-year-old that was in the ring with him.
Cool. June heads up to the fence and puts her hands on it, and like you can see her fingers digging into the wood harder and harder as this little toot smacks the other kid and then wins and laughs about it. And
yeah, that's right. Who's going to become an apprentice this year? I'm going to become apprentice this year. You remember my name, ladies and gentlemen, and it is Talus Echo.
June, under her breath, goes to Kieran. Well, first of all, he's just jinxed himself really bad because you're not supposed to say stuff like that if you really do think that you're going to get asked to be an apprentice. He's definitely jinxed himself now. But that's beside the point. Is there a like an adept or somebody who's like running, who's like supervising and refereeing?
There is a, there's an all courier there. It's an adult woman about, let's say, in her mid-30s. She's got dark skin. Her hair is pulled back into a very tight bun at the back of her, neck. She's wearing, she's not wearing an Audrin coat. She's wearing a all courier coat. So that means that beyond the Audrins, there are the all couriers, and they wear a generic, it's the same cut of coat, same collar, same like to the calf knee length type thing. But it's in a neutral color. I think it's green. I think it's a green coat that everyone outside of the Audrins wears.
Sort of like a foresty green.
Yeah, it's like a foresty green coat.
So the all couriers are the ones who don't fly with an Audrin, but they do like solo missions?
Yes, they do. Oh. They sometimes they do solo missions. Sometimes they do, a lot of times they're out at the post offices that are around the world. Like there's going to be one in Burjanith. There's one in Rakshasi. There's a lot of places in the world where these brick and mortar places are.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to come back sometime, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be that this person drew this stick and is here running this. Okay, kid. Okay. And she like goes over and goes, you're done. You've done. He's like, no. I get to do one more, at least one more. Who's going to take on the Talus?
June puts a foot up onto the fence and yells, do we have to wear the padding?
Everyone turns and looks. And the woman who is an all courier looks at you, looks at the kid, and the kid sees you and goes, oh, hey, how's it going?
Great. Do we have to wear the padding? Or is it just for little kids?
Ooh, ooh. He looks over at the all courier and goes, he starts taking off the, the hood, and he starts getting out of the jacket. He's like, I don't need the padding. I don't need it. She's like, no, we should probably have the padding, everyone. And a bunch of kids around are going, no padding. No padding. No padding. No padding. No padding. And she goes, no, we're not doing that. Put your pads back on. And everyone's like, aw. He puts the padded back on. She walks over to the side of the ring to you, June, and gets close and goes, if you want to beat this little toot, you're going to have to wear the pads.
I'll wear the pads.
That's a smart girl.
So June goes and starts putting on the padding stuff.
Okay.
I think June, as she goes to do that, tells Kieran to fill Cece in on why this kid is a toot.
Cece says, oh, you don't even have to tell me. That kid is a total toot. I can see from that little interaction. Yeah, that kid, please. Cece looks at June in the eyes and just gives, like, super stone face, just like a, you know what you gotta do.
Yeah, and June gives, like, the terse, tense-chinned anime nod. Mm-hmm. And then goes and starts to put the padding on.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. What am I doing?
You are going to choose a way to fight this kid.
Great.
Oh, snap.
We're going to do best 2 out of 3 here.
Does it have to be the same approach every time?
It doesn't have to be the same approach every time.
Cool.
But we're going to do best 2 out of 3 here.
Okay.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right. So, you both get into the ring. You put on the pads. The pads are like a jacket, and they're also like pants as well. They're gloves.
There's like a hood.
There's like a hood that you put on.
Yeah.
And you get suited up. He gets suited up. He's like standing there. He's like dancing on 2 feet. Like,
yeah, and June is doing that thing in like samurai movies where her body is fully relaxed, and the rattan stick is like pointed down at the earth to her side. Super relaxed, super chill, really, like, zenned out as she steps into the ring and watches him dancing around.
This kid is dancing on his feet back and forth. There's about three or four other kids on the other side of the ring that are like, come on, man, you got this. Like, they're, like, pumping him up, ready to go. Talus turns around and goes, all right, here we go. Here we go. It's just you and me. Just you and me. Come on, come on. Am I going to be over here? I'm over here. What are we doing? Come on, what are we going to do? And both of you roll.
It's a five.
Ooh, well done. This kid goes for, as he's moving back and forth, you see the stick wave in front of your face, back and forth and back and forth. And you can tell that he's going to go for a hit to the side of your head. You duck underneath it and just clock him across the face.
Oh, man.
Hey heroes, it's James. Normally I'm your game master, but for Courier's Call, I'm just another part of the audience. And folks, I could not be more thrilled. I hope you're all enjoying the show as much as I am. Be sure to follow them at Courier Call on Twitter to find out about when they'll be getting their own feed. Before we get to the show, I've got some exciting news. Coming up on January 16th at 7 p.m. Central Time, we'll be streaming a preview of the Adventure Zone card game over on the One Shot Twitch stream. I'm going to be teaming up with lots of talented folks. Right now, I've confirmed Carlos and Serena from Rivals of Waterdeep. Be sure to watch out for more news on our cast of that stream, and mark your calendars. Once again, that is going to be January 16th at 7 p.m. Central Time on the One Shot Twitch stream, twitch.tv/OneShotRPG. Also, heroes, we've got something really special going on over on One Shot, because I'm playing D&D with the Try Guys. Last year, I helped the Try Guys try D&D for the first time, and you can hear the fruits of that labor now. For the next couple of weeks, I'll be doing new episodes featuring Ned, Eugene, Keith, and Zach. I'm really excited about how these episodes turned out, and I hope you love them. Before we get to the show, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Daniel Rowrig, thank you so much. Ryan Bradshaw, thank you. Roberto Vasquez, thank you so much. Mel Robb, thank you very much. Catherine Lindsay Brennan Johnson, thank you so much. Jeffrey Bodoon, thank you. Max Kreisky, thank you so much. Christopher Weissenen, thank you so much. Sir Edmund, thank you. And Jocelyn Hale, thank you very much. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. This show would not be possible without you. Thanks to some incredibly generous backers, we are back over the $8,500 mark, keeping Campaign a weekly show. It would be great if we weren't on the verge of not being a weekly show, but I am so, so happy to be able to continue producing at this schedule. I'm really excited about the next arc of Campaign, and I cannot wait to bring it to you. I'm also extremely excited about Courier's Call, and really, the more money the network takes in, the more cool things we can afford to produce. $15 plus backers should watch my Twitter at OneShotRPG for some exciting updates about some gifts that'll be headed their way, realistically, in a month or two. But with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
And then June continues moving in that direction and just, like, does a tiny little circle so that she can sweep her eyes across all of the spectators before turning back to him.
There is a long ooh as that happens. And he shakes his head and rushes you. Go for another one.
Cool. It's a two.
Two. This kid rushes across at you. You go for a overhead, like, bang to, like, hit him on the head as he's going low. He takes the stick and he brings it up, blocks it, and hooks your arm and flips you over. So you go from going a bang, you're going to hit him on the head, to flipping in the air and landing in the dirt. You're one for one each. Everyone goes, ooh! And you got, he goes for another hit. I feel like you roll out of the way and come back up. Mm-hmm. This is your last go.
It's a 3.
Cool. There's an exchange that happens between the two. There's a clack, 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 clack as you guys go back and forth, blocking back and forth with the rattan sticks. You dance back and around this circle. You do a circle maneuver around. My question is, how do you beat him?
So he does the thing where he flips her into the dirt, and he goes to hit her a second time, and she rolls out of the way and gets to her feet. And that engagement, that clack, 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 back and forth, is both of them getting serious about it. And there's like a focus behind June's movements that normally she doesn't have. But there's something about, like, her mind is elsewhere and her body is the thing that matters and that's driving in the moment. And I think it's like clack, 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 clack. It's really routine, like, attack block, attack block, attack block, feint block, feint block, feint, you know, like doing all of this standard stuff to try to overpower the other one. And they're going back and forth. And I think June swipes, and instead of blocking, he moves to the side to come around and hit her. But by the time he comes around, she's smacked his hands and he's forced to drop the stick.
Oh, and he drops the stick. And the moment he drops the stick, there's a blow of a whistle. The official goes, "That's it. That's done. Winner is, what's your name?"
June Hymnal.
June Hymnal. And there's a...
She like kicks his stick out of the way and points hers at him before doing like the standard like bow or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like hand, like walking away to hand her stuff back to the thing.
Cool. As you turn around, he rushes you. He awesome. Rushes to do one last hit against you. What do you do?
Is it hand to hand? He doesn't have a stick?
He doesn't have a stick. He just runs to like tackle you.
Cool. I mean, I'm going to roll and see what I do.
Go for it.
It's a 2. She lunges sideways, but leaves her foot where it was to trip him.
Mm-hmm. So it's a tie between the two. He rolled a 2 as well. Hmm. So you succeed, but at a minor cost. What happens with the cost?
So I think he does trip, but the weight of him tripping mm-hmm. throws her to her knees, and she, like, cracks her knees on the ground. Like,
oh, okay.
She yeah. goes down hard. So, like, to the audience, I think it still looks like she won that, mm-hmm. but, she, like, her knees hurt real bad.
There's a, oh, and, like, the official runs over and, like, the kid tries to get back up, and she puts a foot on the kid and, like, says, "Just stay down. Just stay down." And some of the other people, like, come over and, like, "Are you okay?" And they, like, help you up.
Yeah, she stands up and she, like, shrugs it off and, like, wipes the back of her hand across her face. And she keeps her eyes on him, like, mm-hmm. watching him to see what he's going to do. And she doesn't let on that she's in any pain.
Cool. You're lifted up. You're helped to the other side of the ring, basically, like, you walk over there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go, you look over into the crowd, and you see that same woman in the yellow coat, and she's watched this whole thing. And everyone's, like, clapping and cheering, but she isn't clapping, she isn't cheering, she's just watching you. She turns around and she walks away.
I think June sees her and makes eye contact, and she, like, sniffs really hard. You know, like, it's cold and she's been breathing heavily, and she sniffs really hard, and she, like, sets her mouth in a thin line. And as the woman turns back into the crowd, she turns away and heads back over to the outside of the ring.
"That was great," the official woman says with the bun, and she walks over and goes, "That was great. Here, 2 feathers for you. Well done."
"Thank you." She takes the feathers and shoves them into her pocket.
People clap. It's a big thing.
The thing is June climbs out of the ring to rejoin Cece and Kieran, and she doesn't look happy. She doesn't look like she's basking in the glow of her own victory. She doesn't look happy, but she looks alert and, like, alive, I guess is a good word for it.
Cece walks up and says, "Tough one, huh?"
"Yeah. A little toot."
"Yeah. I wasn't happy about it, but you got some feathers. You know, it's what we're after here.
It was a start.
Yeah. And you know what? If I give you a feather, and Kieran gives you a feather, how many feathers we all got?
Four. I'm not good at math, CC.
Four.
Kieran's got it.
I think Kieran will readily hand June one of their feathers.
Totally. Be like, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have squared up with that kid. I don't want to fight. Saw you. You didn't cheat. You didn't break the rules. That's a tough one. That little toot, he stinks. Here, I'm your captain, and I think you earned a feather. And I hand
June's June's serious face gets frownier and frownier and frownier as they hold the feathers out. But her eyes are glistening. And after a really long pause, she nods silently and takes the feathers.
Are your knees okay?
Yeah. But June looks at Kieran with a face that says no.
Maybe we should sit down for a little bit.
It's fine. It's fine. We can do that.
Where do you guys go sit?
I want to say that June kind of points them towards the general area where the ceremony is going to be.
Oh, okay.
So that they have a good seat.
So there is a place called the Green Boards. It's a scaffold that's made out of these green planks that are painted green. And there's a bunch of seats set up, and there's a big backdrop. The big backdrop behind it is there's all the birds are behind there. There's a big, like a makeshift stable. So you can, like, people can go and see the birds and pet the birds and be close to them. And they're all out there, and that's what's out there. Cece, is there anything else you want to do before we kind of jump forward?
No. Cece's pretty satisfied. Cece's like, you know, this festival is great and all, but, like, we all have four feathers. I feel good. I'm ready for, like, you know, my friend's got to heal. We need a short rest, you know?
All right.
Yeah, like, I know the severity of this situation. I'm like, we got to sit. And I want a good seat.
You guys go get, you guys go and get good seats.
I think Kieran's going to go back to the novice flight booth area.
Okay.
And grab their backpack again.
Oh. As you,
I really think they've just been roaming around the fair without it this entire time. And kind
that's hilarious.
I love that.
That's so Kieran.
Kieran, you notice that it's gone. And we get this great shot of you running back through the fair. You go back to the novice's flight, and as you get to the novice's flight, there's Ard, and Ard is helping a kid out of his harness and stuff, and he turns around and he sees you, and he's like, oh, hey, Kieran.
Hi, do you have my backpack? Do you have my backpack? And then also, I'm sorry that I said it exploded earlier, because it doesn't. I just didn't want anyone to open it.
That's okay, Kieran. It's all right. And he goes and he reaches behind the stall, like the counter of the stall. He reaches down. He pulls out your backpack.
Kieran visibly relaxes when they see their backpack again. Like there was this like shoulders by the ears sort of just like moment of like oh god, and all right, feel the fire.
That's energy.
Feel the fire. I love that.
Kieran will like practically snatch it out of Ard's hands. Thank you. And then run off, putting their four feathers inside of it as they're running.
We see Kieran run off. The camera is in front of Kieran as he runs towards the camera. And we see Ard in the background. And Ard waves and kind of gives a small, kind of a sad smile. And then somebody in a an all courier's coat comes over and gives them a white feather, and he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And he puts it in his
hand. I mean, he just got a pity feather. I'm sorry, but I mean, let's just call it like it is. I mean, the guy's old. He's 28. 28. like CC can't get over this. CC is like, he is what? He's like 100 years old. He is a 28-year-old novice. Like, not to the point of bullying. It's just like, what happened? Like, oh my.
What have you been doing?
Yo.
It's perfect.
You it's perfect. Spent it already.
That all happens. That all is a bit, little bit where the two of you, June and CC, are sitting there talking.
Yeah.
Time passes. You guys get up, you walk around a little bit more, but you like camp out. You know how you camp out and like claim seats?
Oh, absolutely.
You have claimed these seats. These seats are yours.
That music, the day progresses feel.
On. Oh yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Very
and,
much
and
so.
And there's plenty of good music here too. Like the green hearts are playing.
Oh yeah.
So there's a lot of good music being played here. A lot of the Audrins that have come back, they're like playing concertinas and like hurdy-gurdies and stuff like that. And there's people singing and dancing, and it's a great day. The sun makes its march across the sky. The blues of the sky turn to gold, and the temperature drops a little bit. It's like 25 now as the sun begins to set. You guys can smell the fair around you as lanterns begin to be lit in different places, preemptively waiting for the sun to go down. One of the things you do see, you see out on the bird pitch, basically, somebody brings out a kiwi. And in this world, birds, we haven't really talked about this at this point, but the birds in this world are about 8 times bigger than the birds in our world. There are birds that are also the size of birds in our world, but here in Spear, birds can get to be 8 times the size. So a kiwi in this world can be 10 feet tall.
Awesome.
And somebody brings out a kiwi, and they kind of have like a draft horse type thing happen with a bunch of kiwis.
Oh, man.
And you guys kind of watch that for a while.
It's so cool.
As the lanterns begin to be lit, you smell another smell. You guys know that tonight, after this choosing ceremony, which happens every year, there's going to be fireworks. And when the fireworks happen, after the fireworks, there's going to be what's called the Novice's Choice Feast, where everyone before this has put into like a little box their favorite food, and they will make everyone's favorite food, all the novices' favorite food, and they get to have that at a big feast for everyone in town.
Heck yeah.
It is, part of it is at the festive gourd.
So, of course it is.
So there's like...
The decorative gourd.
I'm sorry. The decorative gourd is the name of... Of, is that the name of your...
The decorative
Everyone
gourd.
In the town gets it wrong.
Yeah, it's a
festive
thing.
Festive gourd, the celebrated gourd.
The decorative gourd. It's the name of the inn and food hall that June's family runs.
And so a part of it is there.
Yes.
And so a part Naturally. Of it's there, a part of it is here. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
In town. But you guys can smell those foods being cooked and being prepared for you guys. As the day begins to draw to a close, and as it does, there is a fanfare. Insert fanfare here. And you notice that while you guys are sitting here, people have begun to sit down in these chairs and in these seats. On these benches and climb in trees and be on scaffolds to watch this as the sun begins to set. And as the sun begins to set, the sun goes through the hole in Thornback Peak. Above Thornvale is this peak with a hole in the center of it. And that light filters through and it lands right on this spot. They always try to find where it's going to be for the fair. And so it's like a natural spotlight that kind of lights up and puts this golden light on this big circle. People have come around. They've sat down. That fanfare happens. And through the crowd begins to hush a bit as the Audrin captains walk up.
and begin to climb the scaffold to get to the top there.
Oh, they're so cool.
There are four Audrin captains. The first one you see is Wiltham Knott, who you saw earlier today, yeah. Cece. Kind of that graying blonde, not very tall, but in this nondescript, in this gray coat. They look mysterious. They just look mysterious, like they know something that you don't know. And they smile at everyone as they walk up. The next one to walk up is a woman in a yellow coat, in a yellow Audrin coat, the one that you were seeing earlier today. As you see her, she, like I said, is lean and strong, but older, probably in her 40s or so. This is Alegria Canticle. She is the head of the Yellow Audrin. The Yellow Audrin is known for battle. It's known for going to dangerous places on dangerous routes. They're known for being tough and independent and doing all that they can to make sure the mail gets there, even in hostile situations. The next person that comes up is about 6'5", very tall, but very willowy and thin. They're wearing a black coat. Their hair is kind of this wet, curly brown. They have these piercing lilac eyes. And as they walk up, they have eyeliner on. Their nails are done in different colors, in purples and greens and black and like shades of black. This is Mulden Foxskull, the captain of the Black Audrin. And the Black Audrin is known for its mysteriousness. It's known for magic. It's known for pulling on people that, and they study magic while they're on the boat. As Mulden walks through, you hear the jangle of trinkets around their neck.
Ugh.
And you see that, like, things are attached to their coat. There are like, black raven feathers, and it looks like a fox paw.
Oh, cool.
And it looks like there's jangly bits like runestones on cords that are hanging out of their pocket. As they move forward, as they walk through, they smile and like give finger guns to people and blow kisses. And the last of the line is a surly looking older man, maybe in his early 50s. He's got graying hair, graying salt and pepper hair that's black with green eyes. He's wearing a red Audrin coat. This is Captain Silas Dennison of the Red Audrin. He does not smile. He does not wink. He does not look at anybody as he walks up. He, like, has his hands in his pockets as he walks up. He's bearded. He's got, like, a scar, like, over... He's got that cool eyebrow scar.
Yeah.
As he walks up. But he looks like he's got a perpetual frown on his face. His skin is tannish. In our world, he could probably be of a Polynesian descent. As he walks up, he is of the Red Audrin. The Red Audrin is all about strength. It's all about self-reliance. It's all about the birds. It's all about making sure that they can ride the birds the best. They are the fastest, the most reliable Audrin. And maybe they work for the Red Feathers. The rumors persist. I forgot to say that Wiltham Knott is head of the Grey Audrin, and they are known for secrets and sensitive information. They are known to get any information you need, and whatever you want, they can get for you and bring it to you. You see these four captains climb the scaffold, and as they do, there's music still playing, but it's kind of subdued, and nobody claps, nobody cheers as they go up
there. I do.
As you do, Cece, you see Wiltham look over at you, and they smile, and they kind of wave at you.
I wave back real hard with both hands.
And as they do, Captain Alegria, she looks at you as well, and she, like, goes up and speaks to Wiltham, and Wiltham, like, whispers to her as they're up there on the scaffold.
Oh, they're talking about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right? Am I right?
As that's happening, you're, like, doing all that, Captain Dennison is walking up. He's like, please be quiet.
Cece sits down immediately and folds her hands on her lap.
Thank you. And as that happens, you see the next group come up. And this is Coriander Swiftwell and his wife, Patience Rebecca. This is the man who created the Swiftwell Courier Service. He's in his 80s. He's older. He's got a beard. He's got glasses. He walks with a cane. And Patience Rebecca is this radiant beauty who is also in her 80s. No, probably like mid-70s, actually. But she looks radiant and beautiful with this stark white hair, to contrast Coriander's white hair as well. And they walk up, and people stand, and they have this reverence for them as they walk up. Coriander waves to people. He makes eye contact with you, Kieran, and like waves at you.
Kieran shrinks into the crowd as much as possible.
As he walks up, Ard follows them and helps them up onto the stage, and then he goes and sits down. The last person to come up is Fathina Vranti, who is the Postmaster General. When Fathina walks in, everyone turns. And nobody speaks, nobody says anything. The music even stops. Fathina is imposing. She is 6'8", almost 7 feet tall. She's got tan skin. She's very muscular. But she's got these very kind, bright yellow eyes that seem to look at everyone at the same time. Every time she looks in a direction, you swear she's looking at you. Her hair is this voluminous cloud of auburn and gold that is just kind of hangs around her. She wears a coat, but it's not of a solid color. It's of all colors. It's a rainbow-esque coat, but it's in that same cut. And as she walks up, she waves at everyone, and she climbs the scaffold. Under her arm is a large book, and also it looks to be a fold-up writing desk. She stands up there. She goes and sets it up in front of Coriander and Patience, and opens the book, and you see Patience and Coriander take out spectacles and a pen and dip it in some ink, and they like flip a couple of pages and stand there. And Fathina looks out and goes, "Welcome, one and all, to the Novice Fair." And there's a cheer that happens. "We are so glad that you made it here this year. Thank you so much to our novices and all the hard work they do. Thornvale would not be the same without them. Let us applaud the novices." And there's a big cheer there as well. "But life is about change. It is about things moving forward. And so, this year, the captains of the Audrin and myself, along with Mr. and Mrs. Swiftwell, have chosen our choices for the new apprentices, these hopefuls to come forward. This year, we will have the following. When your name is called, please stand, come up here on the scaffold, and stand next to us."
Oh my god, it's so better be us.
"It's okay if it's not. It's okay if it's not.
Are you kidding?"
She holds out a piece of paper. "Bertina Marino."
Oh my god.
And there's a, like a squeal in the back. And
Cece rolls her eyes. Yes.
Oh god, her, what?
And there's a smattering of applause as this girl, olive skin, black hair, runs forward. And she is so excited. She's got pigtails, and she's in like a really nice dress. But she's got her blue cap on, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much, thank you so much." And she runs up there, and she's like, "Here, do I stand here?" And Fathina's like, "You can stand a little further away, thank you." She looks at the paper and goes, "Otis Rathfinn."
Oh my god. Otis, are you kidding me?
There's another, like,
June,
clapping.
June, like, smacks Cece a little bit.
There's some clapping, and there's a young boy, maybe about 12, who gets up there. He's so slight. He's a small wee bean.
Oh.
He's got, like, very short, slicked back hair, but very determined and very serious. He's wearing like, a bow tie. He's wearing, like, a cravat. And, like, he's in his obviously best clothes.
Oh, gosh.
And he, like, walks up there. His hat, his novice cap is that light blue like everyone else's, but it is absolutely to the T where it needs to be. Mm. And his pin is like brushed to shining. Mm. And he gets up there and he stands. Fathina looks at the paper. June Hymnal.
That's you.
June starts coughing immediately.
Oh my God.
And is still coughing as she like squeezes Cece's hand, squeezes Kieran's hand, and then like clambers across them with her long legs to get to the aisle.
There's applause.
To climb the scaffold. And her hands are now fists as she makes her way up there.
You get up there, June, and you stand and you look out in the crowd. And the first thing you see is your family two rows behind where you were sitting.
Oh no.
June's look of surprise, delight shifts immediately into a sort of like neutral mask.
It's not your whole family. There is your mother and your younger and the youngest boy, mm-hmm. but your father and your older brother are not there. They're obviously working and doing stuff. But it's those two.
What does her face look like? What does mom's face look like?
Impassive at this point.
Are they clapping?
They are clapping.
Okay.
Fathina looks at the paper again. Cecilia Whitwick.
Yo, that's me! She jumps up and like runs. She has her hands out for like high fives. And then she's just going like, when no one gives one, she's like, get some. Oh, it's me.
Oh my gosh. Oh no.
She looks at everybody who didn't get called and is just like, oh, snap.
You go stand up there. You do notice your parents are in the audience as well. They're at the far back. They are not clapping. Your mother has a very stony face, and your father looks surprised.
Hey! Hey, Mom! Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
The applause and cheers die down.
Oh, boy. Well.
And the applause and cheers died down. And Fathina looks at the paper one more time and goes, bootstrap? And there's a kind of look around. And a boy stands up. He's got dark skin. We can't see his hair. It must be short because it's underneath his novice cap, under his blue novice cap. He's about 15 years old. He looks weathered. He looks strong. Like he's had a hard life up to this point. And he walks up the scaffold. And as he walks up the scaffold, you see his kind of light brown eyes are not haunted, but he looks older than 15.
Dang.
Oh, man.
But he is obviously a 15-year-old boy. Mm. As he walks up the scaffold, you notice that he has two different boots on. And he gets up there and stands. And people clap, but there's nobody in the crowd that cheers for him. Aww. Other than Coriander and Patience Rebecca, who stand and clap.
Aww.
When he's called.
June mutters out of the corner of her mouth to Cece, who's next to her in the lineup, and goes, I bet he's an orphan.
Hey, got picked. Doesn't matter now.
No, it's great for him.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Kieran Rao. Yeah.
I think Cece and June both go, yes!
Yeah! High fives all around.
I think Kieran is rooted to the spot.
And yeah, so like there's cheering and clapping and stuff, and Cece and June are like, yes, and they like high five.
People are like looking around for the kid who's supposed to be going up to the stage.
Yes, and Cece and June are like, Kieran, Kieran.
Yeah, get up here.
Kieran, come here, Kieran.
I think like haltingly, they start to move towards the stage, clearly fighting like every instinct to run in the opposite direction. But I think they finally kind of just make it other end of this lineup next to Bootstrap and kind of just glance over at him and like, the most pathetic smile you have ever seen in your life.
Kieran, you look out in the crowd and the person who is cheering the most is your mother.
Yay!
Yay!
She's just off to the left of you and she is beaming. Tears are running down her face.
Aww.
As she stands and she claps and she screams and she whistles.
I think the smile probably gets a little bit more strength whenever.
Oh.
whenever Karen sees her.
Fathina looks down and goes, "And those are this year's hopefuls for apprenticeship." And everyone claps and cheers.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. A voice to the hopeless and help those in need, and to ever be thankful for what you've received. Singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
Skyjack's Courier's Call is a One-Shot Network production. Your game master was Drew Merzieski, who can be found on Twitter at WorldsToForge. June Hemnall was played by Allie Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at DreamsToBecome. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at Palomi SP. That's PAULOMISP. Cecilia Whitwick was played by Erin Catano Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Erin Catano Saez. That's AaronCatanoSaez. You can also find Aaron on his other podcast, All My Fantasy Children. This episode was edited by Casey Tony. You can listen to Casey on his own podcast, Neo Scum, which is extremely not kids friendly, and hear his editing work on Campaign Skyjacks Prime, which is also not really kids friendly. But good for 14 and up, I'd say, probably. The original soundtrack for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott, ArnePArrott. The character art for Campaign Courier's Call was created by Jess Kuczynski, who could be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. If you're looking for more updates about Courier's Call and want to follow it when it gets its own feed, be sure to follow it on Twitter at CourierCall. Remember, there are no kings. Take flight, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Allie Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.